Good morning, happy Sabbath. Everybody can hear me pretty good? All right, can I get everybody to bow their heads with me for one more short prayer? Father in heaven, we want to thank you for the opportunity for us to be here this morning. My Lord, I ask that as I bring forth the message that you've given to me first, I pray that hearts and minds will be open. I pray, Father, that they not see me, but they hear you speaking through me. So, Lord, we ask that you be with each and every individual that is here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, I want to talk to everybody about something very important this morning. Real quick, I want everybody to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. I want us to see something. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. All right, when you have it, say amen, so I don't leave you behind. All right, so listen to this. So the Bible says, now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell everybody something. The things that happened in the past are examples of things that are going to happen in the future. So let me give you a simple example before I go into the sermon. We know that when Moses was born, a decree went out to kill all children 2 years and under. When Jesus was born, the deliverer of the world, a decree went out to kill all children 2 years and under. Moses was called to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt. Jesus was called to deliver his children from the world. Before Moses could take them out of Egypt, plagues fell upon Egypt. The Bible teaches that before Christ takes us out of the world, the seven last plagues fall upon the world. Can everybody clearly see that was what happened in the past was an indication of something that was going to happen in the future? Let me give you another example before I go into the message, because it's going to help you understand why we're reading this. Joseph had 12 brothers. Jesus had 12 disciples. Joseph was betrayed by Judah. Jesus was betrayed by Judas. What did Joseph's brothers do to cover their sin before their father? They took Joseph's bloody coat and presented it to the father to cover their crime. What do we do? We take Jesus' bloody robe and we go before the father and use it to cover our what? Our sins. So does everybody see where I'm going with this? This is one way we know our Bible is no accident. So let me ask everybody one more question. Who was the God of the Old Testament? Was it the Father or was it the Son? Everybody confused? Is there a debate? We got Father or Son? Which one y'all think? Huh? Okay, let's take a look at some scripture to see to make sure. So before I go to the scripture, let me help everybody understand something. What did the God in the burning bush say his name was? He said, my name was what? I am. I am that I am. When Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, they said, Jesus, you ain't even 50 years old. How can you say you know Abraham? Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. What is the Bible? You may say, well, Terry, you're making that up. That's not what he really meant. Yes, it did, because the Bible said the priests and the people picked up stones. And Jesus said, what y'all getting ready to do with those? They said, because you being a man are now claiming to be a God. Jesus says, I was the one who was in the burning bush. All right, so go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to look at verses 1 through 4. Let's read this because, like I said, I want to go through something very quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. The Bible says, I don't want you to be ignorant about this. I want you to really understand what the issue is here. Remember, when Israel left Egypt, y'all do know that there was a cloud that covered them by day from the sun. God gave him shade. The Bible says there was a cloud that covered it. And then at night, the Bible says that cloud turned into a fire and gave them warmth at night. Y'all know, as crazy as the other nations saw this when they could watch Israel go through the wilderness for 40 years. They saw a cloud over them by day, and then it turned to fire by night, and then it rained bread. Kind of makes you wonder why they were still attacking Israel. Verse 2, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud in the Red Sea. Remember, they crossed the sea, and it said, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, the manna, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. Here's your New Testament proof that it was who in the Old Testament. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was, there's your New Testament. The Bible says the God in the burning bush, the God that delivered Israel, was actually Jesus himself. All right. So, our scripture reading that came today is coming from Numbers 14, verse 22. I'm going to read it in y'all hearing, and I want you to listen to something. Numbers 14, 22. And it says, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, and which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice. Jesus says, 10 times Israel worked my nerves. Y'all think we worked Jesus' nerves? My mama back there, ask her how many times I worked her nerves when I was coming up. Plenty of whoopings from mama, plenty of whoopings. But Jesus says, 10 times they worked my nerves. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna look at all the complaints that Israel put into HR when they were following the Lord. And we're going to see, I wonder if we put in the same complaints to God every day too. So, let's go to complaint number one. The story takes place after the children of Israel leave Egypt. Let's go to Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 through 12. Exodus 14, verses 10 through 12. We're going to take a look at every last one of them. Exodus 14, 10 through 12. We're going to move pretty quick. All right, Exodus 14, starting in verse 10, I'm going to read through 12. Listen to this. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out and said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, you brought us out in the wilderness to die. Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth from out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee, saying, leave us alone when we were in Egypt? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than should die in the wilderness. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't the Bible say they were crying like little babies for 400 years?
Yes.
God was doing them a favor, right? 400 years. We need help. We need some Pedialyte. We need some diapers. We need milk. Guess what God did? He answered that prayer. He delivered them. Then when he delivered them, the first complaint was, why you saved me? Ooh. You know, we first come to Jesus, we do the same thing. Did you catch in that verse? As soon as Moses, the Old Testament type of Jesus, took the children of Israel out of Egypt, what did Pharaoh do? Did he say, I'm going to leave them alone? He said, I'm finna go and get my... What does Satan do as soon as you try to live right and do what's right? He runs right after you, folks. Why do we get surprised when we're trying to live right, when we're trying to do right? Why do you think things fall apart the way they do? God just told you. But what did they do? They complained. First complaint. Could have been me. I'd have been like, wait a minute, didn't I rain ice from the sky and make it turn into fire on the ground? I could have sworn I turned all the water into blood. Matter of fact, how did y'all even get out here by the river? Because if it weren't for me, you wouldn't have got here in the first place, right? Y'all starting to feel where this is going? That's the first complaint that Israel sent in to HR. Now remember now, we just read the first scripture. God was like, these 10 times, they worked my nerves. He didn't get to that point without a reason. The first one, okay. God said, okay. But guess what he did, folks? Did the Egyptians kill them at that river? Okay, so let's go to Exodus chapter 15, verses 23 through 25. Let's take a look at the next complaint. Exodus chapter 15, verses 23 through 25. All right, I'm going to read it. You ready? And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people put in another complaint to HR against Moses, saying, what we gonna drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he cast it into the bitter waters, the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance to prove them. God took down the entire empire of Egypt in the face of the whole world. On CNN, everybody knew what happened. And he delivered them again when they got to the water and they got trapped. Complaint number two, God, you can't pay my water bill. These 10 times, they work my nerves. Why do we complain when we get little minute stuff in our life that don't work out right? You know, we actually lose faith in God because we can't do stuff. But he actually saved your life. He performed these miracles. But you know, we don't work God's nerves like Israel did. We don't do that, do we? We're a whole new set of God's people, right? Here's the other thing. Life in bondage is bitter. But there was a branch that was tossed in it, and it made life sweet. Jesus is supposed to sweeten the life regardless of the issues and the trials that you go through. When me and my wife make a smoothie, y'all can fight me on this if y'all want to. But sometimes them oranges I buy, I don't care if I go to Publix or Kroger's or them strawberries or them blueberries, sometimes I wonder who grew them things. Because stuff today just don't have that flavor sometimes. How many of y'all bought watermelon? You're like, oh, Lord, please let this watermelon be sweet. How many times have you cut a watermelon? It's like, if you can smell it, you're like, okay, all right, we almost there. You know what I do a lot of times? And sometimes if we have a smoothie that's more on the bitter side, you know what I do? Now, y'all probably going to talk trash. Y'all know, and y'all go back to the frozen section now. And Kroger's and Publix and all that, they have this stuff called virgin, okay? I'm saying virgin, y'all know that now, virgin Bacardi mix. There's no alcohol in it. It's just sweetened strawberry stuff. Me and my wife will take a tablespoon of that. Whatever the flavor is that we're going for will match the particular flavor. We'll get lime, we'll get strawberry. Just putting that tablespoon of sweetness in there sweetens the whole drink. Jesus is supposed to make life sweet. But when we come to him and we say we're going to follow him, do other people perceive that our lives get better, or do we complain about following God mostly? But y'all know it was nothing like Israel, right? Let's take a look at complaint number three. Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 and 3. Exodus 16, verses 2 and 3. Exodus 16, verses 2 and 3. All right, everybody there. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God that we have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. Wow, this must be a serious complaint. What's going on? When we sat by the flesh pots and we did eat bread to the fullness, you brought us out here in the woods to kill the whole assembly with this food. Wait, you know, people always get on Seventh-day Adventists. They get on us because y'all out here telling people they need to eat healthy. God don't care nothing about that. It's funny because the first thing the Lord did was when he delivered the children of Israel, he said, y'all can't eat like the Egyptians no more. Because when you eat like the Egyptians, you know, the mummies that they mummified, we can go back to those mummies. Their techniques were on a completely another level. They can actually find out if the person had high blood pressure. They can tell what kind of diseases that they had because the way they did it was on a whole nother level. God was like, first of all, y'all can't eat like that anymore. because it leads to a lot of issues. But we don't complain about God trying to tell us that we need to. The same God that made the Ten Commandments is the same God that made the laws that govern your body. When we break one of the laws, there's this thing happen called consequence. Me and Nairon and my brother, we was at the church picnic last Sunday that we had out at Odell Weeks. I don't care how many of them Morningstar veggie grillers I throw on that grill, they don't smell like them beef burgers when I used to eat them when I put them up there, folks. Now, I've had some veggie burgers and I've had some stuff that's pretty close. I'm like, wow, this is pretty good. But they don't smell, you know, oh man, that Morningstar smells delicious. No, nobody really says anything like that. You know, you just kind of, okay, yeah, okay, this is pretty good. Now, you know, some people have skills and they can season and do stuff to make it taste right. But the thing is, God is like, you know, I care about your spiritual life, but I also care about your health. If God doesn't care about your health, why do we pray to God for our health issues? And that's funny. God was trying to help them with their health issues before they even started praying about it. But you know what? We ain't nothing like Israel. These 10 times they work my nerves. We're nothing like them. Let's go to Exodus chapter 16, verse 20. Let's look at complaint number 4 in the HR. Y'all tired of reading these complaints? No. Let's look at complaint number 4. Complaint number 4. Y'all know, how many days of the week did manna rain from the sky?
Six.
Did manna rain on the seventh day? No. Can you imagine if you was not an Israelite and you was walking past the Israelite camp and you just seen bread fall out the sky? We never think about the Bible stories like this. And then you go back to your camp. I think we should attack them. I think those guys have no power with their God. The same cloud turns into fire at night. It must bake the bread at night, and then, you know, it drops it out in the morning. I mean, I say this stuff because we never really think about these stories. Put yourself in the place of the story. You see what I'm saying? We don't think about these things. So let's read it. It says, verse 20, notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms, and it stank. And Moses was wroth with them. Notice this time, even Moses got aggravated. Moses was like, now they're working my nerves. You know, God told them, don't take extra. Get everything you need on Friday for your family, but do not try to go out on Sabbath and get extra. You know, the first story in the Bible of our parents who failed, did Eve take extra? Did she take from a tree that God said you don't need to take from? That's funny. God said, all these trees over here, you got this tree, you got strawberries, you got all this tree. Just don't eat off that tree. What's she doing? I think I like this tree. Let me go over here and see what's over here. I mean, she went for that which God told her you don't need to touch. It says the people, when you read further in the story, the people took the manna and tried to hide it. When you do something wrong in your life, sin will cause a stench on your life. When we're close to people, we can pick up when something's wrong. And there's changes that takes place in their lives. It starts to stink. You know, in the sanctuary, there was a room where it says incense was constantly burning. Well, if you go back and you study why, the Bible says that every time a lamb was killed, the priest had to take that bowl of blood, and then he would go through, and then he would throw blood on this curtain. And he said this curtain was called the veil. All year, he had to do that. The priest had to dip his hand in blood and throw blood on the curtain. What does that curtain look like at the end of the year? Matter of fact, tell me what that room smelled like. But the Bible says the altar of incense was wrapped before the curtain and it went up as a sweet smelling savior. It is Jesus that covers your sins and makes your life sweet before God. All right. We got dirty, nasty, stank, filthy lives. Jesus sweetens your life and he makes it a sweet smell unto the Lord. Y'all still with me? Also, Jesus said, by the tree you shall know them. By the fruit you shall know them. Some of us have nice looking fruit, but sometimes some fruit can be rotten and you don't know it until you actually try to go up and pluck it. We can pretend that we got it together, but when people really start getting into your, ooh, got a lot of problems. That's everybody, folks. We halfway through the complaints in the HR. What y'all thinking so far? Let's go to complaint number 6. I'm sorry, no, we just did complaint number 4. Complaint number 5, we're getting ready to be halfway through now. Exodus 16, 27 through 28. I'm going to move a little faster. Exodus 16, verses 27 through 28. Let's read it right quick. This is complaint number 5. And it came to pass that they went out, and some of the people on the set. Oh, man. Hold up. I'm sorry, they went to collect manna. And then 5, yeah, they went to attempt to go out and get it. I'm sorry. They complained about it, and then this time, God told them when it came to the manna, check this out. Don't work today. Take time off. You know, we complain about going to work all the time. But then when God say, you actually don't have to go to work 6 days a week. Oh, God, I got this to pay. I got that to pay. I got to go do this. Why are you complaining? You just said you're tired all the time. You know, people get on us as a church that teaches we're based on works. We're telling people to rest. Y'all telling people to work all the time. We're telling people to take time off. Y'all know there was a country that actually instituted that. If you go back and look at France and the French Revolution, you'll find in history they were the first country ever in the history of the world to rise up as a nation to say God does not exist. Go back and study the French Revolution. You know what they did? They didn't want to believe in the seventh-day creation week. You know what they did? They say, now we're going to go off a 10-day work week. We ain't surviving 10 days. I mean, 7 days now. What you think happened to the country when they tried to go to a 10-day work week? The country fell apart, folks. What's the Ten Commandments? Who gave the Ten Commandments? That's a bunch of stupid laws. Then somebody going to rob the person on the street who said that. They stole my property. Well, who said you can't steal from somebody else? Oh, that is right. You see what I'm saying? People don't think. That's why France fell apart. They tried to publicly prove to the world that a nation can be established and have nothing to do with God and yet survive. They did an excellent job, didn't they? Guys, let's take a look at complaint number 6. We're almost there. Exodus 17, 1 through 4. You know what? Let me ask y'all a question while we go into this one. Why are they even complaining again? Exodus 17, 1 through 4. Listen to this. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in, I hope I say this right, Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. You know, this is funny now. Listen to me. This is funny. We've come across this before. Sometime God will test you on the same issue again. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses. You know what that means? They were talking trash and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said to them, why y'all messing with me? Why y'all talking trash to me? Why are y'all tempting God? And the people thirsted for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do with this people? They be almost ready to stone me. God gave them water miraculously before. So God said, I'm going to see if my own people who I saved and did these miracles for will believe in me if I bring them to the same situation again. But you know what? They didn't. They put another complaint in the HR. How many times have you complained to God about the same issue that you've gone through over and over again, but you have not been faithful in it, but you wonder why God keeps bringing you back to it? God said, I need you to fix this. I need you to work on this. And what did the Bible say was the purpose behind this test last time? It said God wanted to prove. You know, I just want to know if y'all believe in me even after everything I've done. Are y'all going to believe in me? Why does the Bible say we have to have faith and ask? You know what the Bible says? You know, me and Monica and Kenny was talking about this in the back before it came out, right? You know, I was talking about my little nephew, Tartasauce, and his sister, Princess Lily. They never come to me and say, Uncle T, are we going to have food in the refrigerator this week? No, they already know when they go to Uncle T's refrigerator and they open it up, food gonna be in there. They don't question whether food is gonna be in there or not. How many times does a kid come to you and say, are you gonna pay the light bill this month? Are you gonna pay the water bill? Kids don't have no concern with that. You mama, you daddy. You know what Tartar Sauce said to me one time? He said, what was it, Kirby? He said, they asked us for some money, and he said we can just go to the bank and get it. Oh, Lord, if it was just that easy. Hey, Bank of America. That's the mindset of a child. A child does not have any issues with the one who's taking care of them that they're going to be taken care of. That's why God says, come with me with a childlike faith. And that makes it clear. But we who can reason and can understand that God can perform miracles and understand that he can do things, why do we question him? So, we almost there. Let's take a look at complaint number 7. All right. I'm getting old because I didn't write the scriptures down or where that one was, so I'm going to have to go into the story and tell you where it said. All right. Israel made a 7th complaint. In this complaint, God said, you know God has a sense of humor, right? How many of y'all agree with that? God has a sense of humor. He said, Moses, your people are acting up. I could see Moses and Aaron turn around. First of all, wait a minute, Jesus. Let me, hey, Aaron, didn't the Lord send you and me to Egypt and say, tell Pharaoh to let my people go? Yes. Oh, now suddenly when they acting up, they my people now. These 10 times. God is he's starting to disown them. That's funny when you read that story. Moses, your people acting up. Lord, I didn't deliver them. You did. You do not remember your message? Go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Why are they suddenly my people when they act? Because they done put in 7 complaints. You better tell them to shut up. I'm tired of this. Talk to your people. Do we praise God more than we complain? Do we exercise faith more than we actually don't exercise faith in? Like, in your life, just ask yourself that question. You know, I think we were talking about last week in Sabbath school. You know why a lot of people don't like tithing? You know, tithing was put in place to test your faith every week. You know, I could be like, my bill is coming out this month to be $100. But then I started counting my check up, and I'm like, $90? And then the Lord wants 10% of that. Lord must can't add. But somehow the Bible says he gonna make it work. But see me, I can't see it. I don't understand it. I don't know where the money's coming from. What if you already borrowed from everybody who you know gonna look out for you? What if you already exhausted every resource? He's a God of miracles, right? But we don't trust. So the thing is, I ain't gonna go on that too much further. We get it, right? We do get it. Let's take a look at complaint number 8. Numbers 21, verses 5-9. Numbers 21, 5-9. All right, Numbers 21, 5-9. And listen to this. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. And our soul loatheth this light bread. Now we hate the stuff that God has given you for your benefit. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of Israel died. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone is bitten when he looketh upon it shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if the serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Christ says, I be lifted up. I shall draw all men unto me. I don't understand how the poison disappeared when you got bit, but the Bible says if you looked in faith to the lifted up serpent, then you were healed. But notice how God is dealing with the complaints in HR. What's going on? You know, sometimes we complain about stuff so much in our life. You know what God does for you? He says, I'm going to give you something to complain about. Because here's the thing they didn't realize. You got over 1 million people that left Egypt. They did the numbers. You got over 1 million people that left Egypt, right? They're all walking through the woods. How does nobody run into lions and tigers and bears, oh my? Well, no zoos being like I know now, so we know a lot of them was out there running around. How were they not when animals attack? God purposely prevented them from running into certain situations as long as they were following him. God is preventing you from running into certain situations as long as you follow him. But if you want to complain, I can pull that protection back and then give you something to complain about. But we don't do that, right? We ain't nothing like that. Do you know Deuteronomy 8 verses 2 through 4 says that when Israel was in Egypt, it says their clothes, no, not Egypt, in the wilderness, it says their clothes did not wear out. And the Bible says the shoes on their feet did not wear down. Help me understand again why they're complaining. 40 years you wearing the same sandals. 40 years you wearing the same pair of clothes. We know stuff don't last as soon as the first time you put it in the wash and dry, nah. Talking about 40 years? Complaint number 9. Numbers 11, 1 through 4. Numbers 11, 1 through 4. Check this out. Complaint number 9. Listen to this. We're almost done with everything they put in the HR. Numbers 11, 1 through 4. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. And his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt amongst them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and Moses prayed unto the Lord, and the fire was quenched. When complaint number 9 came through, God was like, what tribe are you? We're the tribe of Dan, KFC. What tribe are you? Judah, Chick-fil-A. He was just throwing fire, turning everybody into chicken tenders out there. Just smoking up the whole camp. Y'all, it's to the point where your complaints make no sense. No, notice God's dealing with Israel has changed in the sense of because of how they are treating his goodness. You got something you want to say? Now when the phone was ringing in HR, he was just throwing lightning bolts. But you know what? Why do we even have a complaint number 10? Wow. You would have think, right? You know, hey, you know, Kenny, you know, 9 times, you know, we've been complaining. I think we might want to talk to everybody in the camp. They might want to keep your mouth shut. The AC went out. It's good. It's good. It's going to come. Kenny, don't say nothing. Don't say nothing. Just leave that alone. So, now watch this. Now watch this. Complaint number 10. And we're going to close on this. Complaint number 10. Numbers 14, 1 through 4. Numbers 14, 1 through 4. And the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron and the whole congregation, saying unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness? Wherefore has the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey to animals, and were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and go into the promised land. Am I reading the same scripture as y'all? What is complaint number 10?
After all that you have done for us to get us to the promised land, now that we are on the border, we don't want to go in. Do y'all think this whole story is an accident, the way it's laid out? How many of us, you know what, I'm just going to live wrong. I ain't trying to get to heaven no more. I'm tired of having all these issues in my life. Christ ain't doing nothing for me. Stuff ain't going the way I want it to go. My life is not turning out the way I want it. Do we do that? We do that sometimes? It's okay, we ain't gonna say nothing. Because we all know we are just what? Just like them. At this point, Jesus was like, Moses, Aaron, I got the bullseye out, get out the way. I'm getting ready to wipe every last one of them out. But the Bible says Moses ran and he interceded for Israel on their behalf. They didn't want to listen and hear nothing about God's power. They didn't want to hear nothing about his provision, and they didn't want to hear nothing about his providence. You know, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it talks about, it's two types of knocking in the Bible. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. So the Bible says, Jesus comes to everybody's door and everybody's life, and he's knocking at the door, right? But you know what we do? You know, people ask you sometimes, who's knocking at your door? Jesus. I know he's out there. I can hear him knocking, but I don't want anything to do with him right now. Matter of fact, some of us will actually go to the door and open the door, but we won't let him in. Hey, Jesus, I'm learning about you. You can't come in my house right now because you're going to want to change things, and I'm not ready for that. And you're going to kind of, I don't want to do that, but I hear you knocking. I hear you knocking. You know all the pictures that they paint when they show Christ knocking on the door? You know the artist never put a handle on the outside of the door because the door can only be opened from the inside. He cannot force his way into any heart or anybody's home. So the Bible says he stands at the door and knocks, right? So watch this. Last scripture. Go with me to Luke 13, 25 through 27. Last scripture. Luke 13. Are you there? So listen to this. Luke 13, listen to this. I said there was how many types of knocking? Two types. There's one that we do. There's one that the Lord does for us. But the Bible says it's interesting. There's going to come a time when we're going to knock on his door. Luke 13. 25 to 27. Listen to this. And when once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, what is that door to? The door of salvation. And you begin to stand without. Oh, now we're knocking at his door. Saying, Lord, Lord, open up to us. And he shall answer and say, I don't know who you are. And then shall the people begin to say, we have eaten and drunken in your presence. Thou hast taught in our streets. You was at my door the other week. You was trying to get to me. Oh, okay. But he shall say probably one of the worst words that any mortal gonna ever want to hear. I tell you, I don't know who you are. Depart from me, ye all workers of iniquity. You know what throws you off with this? Because this is Jesus. Jesus always wants to help people, but why am I finding a story where people are knocking at his door and beating at his door, but he won't let them in? You know, in the story of Genesis, did Noah close the door to the ark, or does the Bible say God closed the door? Who is the only one that can shut off forever salvation? God. I bet you every dollar I got, and it ain't many, that people beat on that ark when it started raining. Yes. I guarantee you, when the water started to fall and the ground started breaking up, but you know what? The beating that Christ doing, the beating that we do is different. The beating they're doing is, could Noah open the door?
No.
Because he didn't close the door. But my question is, God is so loving and so good, why doesn't he say, hey, okay, you know what? Maybe they come to their senses. Here's why. When Jesus knocks at your door, that is the time of salvation when he wants to come in and save you from your sin. It brings a question to mind. Why were the people knocking on the door after it started raining and not before? It is because they wanted to get away from the consequences of their sin, not their sin itself. So you're beating my door down because you don't want to suffer what you've been wanting the entire time. God doesn't open the door because he doesn't love them. He doesn't open the door because they truly didn't want to be saved. You see how people take the stories and they twist it around and make it seem God like the bad guy? In church, that's what I leave with everybody for today. The things that happened to Israel are an example of things that are going to happen upon us and to whom the ends of the world are going to come. Amen.
Father in heaven, we want to thank you for the opportunity for us to come here this morning to worship with you. And we ask you, Lord, that hearts and minds will be open, Lord, to open the door of our hearts. And pray now, Lord, that if we haven't opened it, that we will. And if we have already let you in, to reconsecrate our lives to you. So, Lord, we thank you for these opportunities. Continue to be with us and bless us until we meet here again next week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.